The names of God, page 26, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay. This will be, I think we're going to have a pretty short class tonight. I don't have a lot here. I tell you, April had a class. Was last summer, was it April? You taught the series on the... You know, she really had a lot of really good insight on this psalm. She would share some of her notes and stuff from time to time. And I don't know if you have those written up anywhere, but I think it would be worth giving them out to some people to read if you want sometime. They were good. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's read this, Psalm 23. This is the first place it's revealed to us. And again, we're talking about the redemptive names of God. And the Lord is my shepherd. We see that God is revealed as a shepherd to his people, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New. But in this Psalm 23, it's probably the most descriptive place where he describes not only the fact that he is the shepherd, but then, you know, what that means and how that responds to our life. And there's really so much in here. I mean, it would take, you know, you could preach for a whole series on these things that Christ has done and does for us. What's the matter? Yes. Thanks. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I mean, that is a statement that I think a lot of people could question, but fact of the matter is, he is really everything we need. You know, I find oftentimes in counseling with people that a lot of times the frustrations that people have in life is because their focus is on something that's not right. You know, they're somehow thinking that one thing is going to make them fulfilled or happy when it's not that at all. You know, if my spouse would only, you know, fill in the blank, then our lives would be perfect. Well, it's not the case. The thing that brings satisfaction, and I'm going to say that word in a sense of just bringing like wholeness to us as a person, is our relationship to Jesus Christ. And if we can as individual people learn to find our sufficiency and our desires fulfilled in that alone, it's going to settle the issue for us in a lot of areas that we struggle with today. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To me, when I read this, I think of how the Lord leads us in the green pastures. Like a shepherd, they would say that a shepherd would actually go out and kind of inspect the field first to make sure there were any like poisonous plants or things in the field so that when the sheep came in there, it was safe eating area. And when I think of that, I think of how the Lord leads us in our study and reading of God's Word, that he gives us good food to eat. And the Lord, you know, I think he wants to protect us as well from you know, dangerous doctrines of whatever you want to talk about. But his Spirit is dwelling inside of us, and he raises flags. Mm-hmm. He'll raise red flags in us when we're reading or, you know, studying certain areas to show us, hey, this isn't good pasture. Stay over here. And to me, you're safer to stay in the Word of God than any place else. I mean, you can read 100 books, and I'm not against books, and you can listen to 100 tapes, and you can listen to 100 sermons, and listen to 100 seminars, and let those begin to develop your philosophy, but you to me, you're safer to say, you know what, I can hear those things and I listen and I can glean and pick up and God might use some things to impart to me, but I just got to be a person that's in His Word. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you and He will guide you and He will feed you and He will give you good pasture. He gives us green pasture and He gives us still waters or quiet waters. And in verse 3 it says, He restores my soul. That, I mean, to me, that is such a beautiful scripture and part of what the relationship of Jesus Christ is for us as a shepherd, is He restores my soul. To restore is a word that means to bring it back to its original condition. You know, our souls are ripped apart by the world every day. You know, it talked about Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, says his righteous soul was vexed daily at the things that he saw and experienced around him. And our souls are constantly vexed as we're in the world and we're experiencing, you know, things and attitudes and people and, you know, sin around us, news we hear, this or that, the attack of Satan. There's all kinds of things that kind of rip at our soul. Satan is called the enemy of our soul. And there's a constant tearing of the inner man. And we've got to come back to Christ and say, restore my soul. Lord, restore my soul. Put it back. Make it the way it should be. Make me whole again. You know, I'm out here every day in this struggle of the world. I want to come to you, my shepherd, and be restored. And that to me is a beautiful picture of something that we need every day. I mean, if you have no motivation for, you know, you want to call it devotions or spending time with the Lord or whatever you call it, let it be this, that my soul needs to be restored. I mean, even if you can just spend 10 minutes just in quiet meditation and say, Lord, you know, restore my soul. Do your work in my heart today. You know, I had a bad day yesterday. I fought with my wife. I yelled at the people at work. You know, I did get a flat tire, whatever. I just need you to restore my soul. I need to have this time with you for you to just mend this thing within me. Because if you go day after day after day after day, and we live in a world that rips at our soul, you're going to find yourself becoming empty inside. And God wants to restore that part of us. And I think that's an ongoing process here. As the shepherd, He restores my soul. It says, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's another, what a beautiful statement that is. You know, we talk about trying to live a life of righteousness and overcoming sin, all these things we've been talking about in the book of Romans here. And for many of us, it seems like it's a struggle. You know, I do want to do what's right, and I'm trying, and I'm working hard at it, or whatever. But I love this because this tells me that God, my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, is actually guiding me into paths of righteousness. And it's for His name's sake. And it's not that I can be a better person. It's like for His sake. I mean, you know, if the Lord's going to do something for His own sake, He's going to do a good job at it. So He's guiding me. It's almost like I kind of, when I read this scripture here, I kind of picture a dad with his little kid on a two-wheel bike, and he's got the training wheels on, and he's helping him. You know, he's helping a baby, or helping this child down the street so he can get used to it. Because he wants to say, there goes my boy. Look at my boy. He can ride that two-wheeler. You know, so he, for His name's sake, for the glory of His name, he's out there saying, come on, boy, you can do this. And he's just guiding him, helping him along. And I get that. I kind of get that picture from when I read this scripture, that He is guiding me in paths of righteousness. You know, and I'm sure there's many different ways He does that. You know, sometimes it's through the reproof of Scripture. Sometimes it's just through our prayer. Sometimes it's a circumstance in life or someone that ministers to you, speaks to you. But But God has a very deep interest in Kirk Martin walking in righteousness. And he has a very deep interest in every one of us walking in righteousness for his name's sake. And it is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd who's involved in that process of helping us along. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound too good. It sounds like maybe affliction or something like we just talked about. But he says, I'm not going to fear evil. Even though there's things around me that don't look that appealing, I'm not going to fear any evil because you're with me. This shepherd doesn't leave the flock. He's with the flock. He's watching over them. He says, your rod and staff, they comfort me. So you get a picture of this sheep who's out here walking around, and the shepherd's right there, ready and available, ready to help in a time of need. And even though I'm walking through this valley, the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear because my shepherd's here with me. It's like my big brother's here. He's watching over me. And when I read this, I get in my mind a picture of David when he took care of his sheep. When he said, the lion and the bear came out, and I went after him because those are my sheep, and I care for them. And I'm not going to let them be ravaged by these wild beasts. And so when I'm walking through this world, I don't have to be fearful because the Lord, who is my shepherd, is with me. And his rod and his staff are there to comfort me. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mean, to me, that's just like a... it's almost like flaunting in a way. You know, you got the enemy out there, you know, saber rattling, and they're all ready to do this battle. And you walk out there, and instead of fear and, you know, are the horses ready? Do we have the bugles? Are our swords sharpened? You're saying, hey, I'm going to sit down and have a meal first here. I mean, wouldn't that intimidate your enemy? Because like when you're standing on, if you see these old movies, you know, with the battle lines, you got the knights up here all yelling and screaming, the lights back here, and you know, they shoot the arrows off. And to see, can you imagine in the middle of that, you're getting ready for the battle, and the guys just walk out there, you know, fold out a table, throw out a tablecloth, light some candles, have a seat there, you know, you're feeding them this food. It's like, come on, man, where's this guy coming from? But it's just this confidence that the shepherd's there. And the sheep has this reliance upon the shepherd, that he's taking care of everything. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. This is just a picture of God's care. You know, this anointing heads, I think they talk about how that sometimes they would put this oil on sheep to keep the pest out of their skin. And my cup overflows. The Lord provides abundantly for us. And in verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I mean, he's talking about this present life, and then the next phrase he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's talking about our future inheritance. All the days of my life, goodness and love will follow me. Does this mean afflictions won't come? No. Afflictions are still there. But God's goodness and love are going to follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? I mean, to take all this together, like I said, this is something you could meditate upon almost every day of your life, and I'm sure the Lord could teach you something new about it. But this is just like, it's just all-encompassing. It touches us physically, it touches us in our soul, it touches us emotionally, it touches us in our battles, it touches us in areas of fear. Goodness and love following me all the days of my life. This is the shepherd, the Lord Jehovah Reah. Jehovah Reah, the Lord is my shepherd. It encompasses so many areas of my life. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And this is in John 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. And it says, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then a wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand, and he cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, a couple things I just want to bring out of this portion of Scripture is that the good shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep. And we know that Jesus did that for us, right, by dying on the cross. If you're a hireling, if those sheep don't belong to you, you don't care when the enemy comes. I mean, if you were a hireling and you saw a bear come out and grab one of the sheep, I'm not going to put my life on the line for that. Because I don't really have a genuine interest in these sheep. I'm here for the money. I'm here for the paycheck. And if I go after that sheep and that bear turns on me, I could die. So one sheep, no big deal. Well, see, that is not the heart of God. You know, his is totally different because he does have a vested interest. We are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. And the Bible says if one sheep leaves, the good shepherd will leave 99 and go after that one because we're his and he cares about us. And I think that you've all got to be able to see yourself as one of these sheep. This is somebody that Jesus really genuinely cares for. So much so that he laid his life down. And I'm glad that he wasn't a hireling. I'm glad that Jesus wasn't one who ran in the face of pending doom. He went to the cross, gave his life. Another thing he says here is the hireling cares nothing for the sheep. That's in verse 13. Jesus is the opposite. He cares for us. And the next thing is in verse 14, he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then in verse 16, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. So I want, you know, to keep that in mind, because when you encourage people who become followers of Christ, you need to let them know that you are one of his sheep, and you can hear his voice. He leads you. He guides you. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Goodness and love will follow you all the days of his life. He will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside the water. So we got to help people understand that this good shepherd is very intimately involved in their life and helping them become the kind of sheep he wants them to be. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture of Christ's intimate care for us. And I don't want you to think that just because you're one of many, I mean, there's, what, I don't know, a couple billion Christians on the earth? I'm not sure what the number is. 1 billion? Let's just say 1 billion. How many of you know if you were one in a billion, probably no one would ever see you? But he knows everything about every one of us. It's an amazing thing. Jesus is not only the good shepherd, he is the great shepherd. It's one thing to be good, it's something else to be great. He's great. You know, you have good baseball players and you have great baseball players. You have good mashed potatoes, you have great mashed potatoes. And Jesus is both the good shepherd and the great shepherd. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. I think that's still part of the work that the Lord does. The great shepherd equipping me with every good thing for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. Isn't that a great prayer? And Jesus is also called the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. So in the church, the Lord actually, in a way, transmits this shepherding heart, this care, to men. And he puts a responsibility. He says, be shepherds over God's flock that is under your care. And when we understand the kind of care he has, that's really what he's trying to work in our lives. Watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Next page. He was revealed as a shepherd of Israel. In Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful vine, near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Can somebody turn that heater up again? I got people putting on like earmuffs over here. Huh? Go ahead, turn it up, Polly. Yeah, but people are like sitting here with ice cubes. I'm seeing like icicles coming off. All right. Can't see our breath yet. It just seems odd to me that the thing won't kick on.
It says 72 degrees in here.
Yeah,
but she's close to an exterior wall. So.
Yeah, it's 14 degrees.
There's people over here sitting. Huh?
It's
all right.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be 5 by the middle of the night.
I'm sorry, you guys. I feel bad for you guys. That's all right. It feels good to me, but I feel bad for you guys. All right. I'll tell you what, we can stand and have a worship service. That'll heat it up real quick. That turns out the heat. That Jesus is called the shepherd, the rock of Israel. And then Isaiah 40, verse 10, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This just shows you the tender heart of the Lord toward his people. He's like a shepherd. Now, this next set here, this is something I saw, some teaching that somebody had up on the internet, so it's got to be real. It was kind of an interesting way that they showed this Psalm 23 and how the different phrases in there kind of correlated to these different redemptive names of God. I just thought it was an interesting way to present it. So it's there just for you to look at and you kind of enjoy it. But basically what he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, that's what we're talking about today, Jehovah Raah. I shall not want. So that's Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still water, Jehovah Shalom. He restores my soul, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. We haven't talked about this one yet, but there's one of the names we'll look at in a little while. It's called Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord is my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jehovah Shammah means he is present, or his presence is here. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. That's Jehovah Nisi, my banner, the one who brings me victory. You anoint my head with oil, Jehovah Emkadesh, which means God is our sanctifier. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, it's kind of taken all these different redemptive names that we've talked about, and the Lord is expressing these all through this Psalm 23, which I think was pretty awesome. Okay, I want to close up with a couple of scriptures that are not on this page, and then we'll close. One of these is found in Ezekiel 34. Actually, they're all in Ezekiel 34, but I just want to read a couple of places here. And then one word of exhortation, and then we'll close up there. And the Lord is speaking here in Ezekiel 34 against the shepherds of his people because they were not really caring for the flock. He says, "You eat the curds, you clothe yourself with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." This is a big deal for the Lord because we see in Psalm 23 his care. And we see in 1 Peter his exhortation to the elders of the church to care for that flock. And now, go back in the Old Testament, he's saying, "I'm looking at you shepherds, and you're not really caring for the flock." And he describes that. He says, "You've not strengthened the weak, you've not healed the sick, you've not bound up the injured, you've not brought back the strays, or you've not searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally." When I read this, this right here is the heart behind my asking us as a church, let's reach out to our flock. It is this heart right here. It says there are people who are sick. There are people who need to be strengthened. There are weak ones who need to be revived. There are injured ones who need to be bound up again. There are people who are straying that need to be brought back, and there are lost people that need to be searched for. This is really heavy upon me, and it's really why it's one of the areas of focus I believe that God wants us to move on in our church in this coming year. And when I understand this idea of the Lord is my shepherd, and I read this, it places even a greater pressure upon my heart, like, hey, this is his flock. And he says in verse 9, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm against the shepherds, and I'm going to hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Verse 16, I will search for the lost. This is the Lord speaking. And I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I mean, I don't know about you guys, that's convicting to me. And just so we know, it's not talking just about shepherds here. Look down to verse 17. I just want to make sure we're all in this together here. Okay, let me get there. Ezekiel 34. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another, and I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, you know, I'm just trying to draw some principles from this scripture that God really cares about his flock. So much so that he says, you know what? You guys are doing a lousy job. I'm going to step in and do this myself, but I'm going to hold you accountable. And I'm thinking, well, okay, Lord, you know, help us to be more in tune with this. You are Jehovah Raah to me. You, the Lord, is my shepherd, but I want to have that shepherd's heart. You know, when you talk about caring for one another, I want to care for people like you do. And I'm asking that God would just move upon our congregation to just kind of flood our hearts with a shepherding care for people. The wounded, the weak, the straying, people struggling out there, people that are lost. And say, Lord, move upon us that we can take an active role in helping to lead these people back to you. And not be a shepherd who doesn't care, and not be a sheep who's getting all the good food but trampling everything else for everybody else. You know, you're kind of in there, I'm getting some good food here, man. Love this food right here. And then when you walk away, it's like, nobody can eat that. I'm going to go drink some of this clear water. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Boy, that water was so good, and all downstream is like all this muddy stuff. He's saying, this isn't right. You know, it was kind of a comical, I don't know if the Lord meant it to be comical, but it's kind of a comical picture. But it basically is saying, you know, you're in it for yourself. You know, you're not really considerate that, hey, there's other sheep that need to eat here. There's other sheep that need to drink. And I'm going to hold you accountable, my flock. You know, I'm going to judge. I mean, how's he going to know? Well, he's going to look at the sheep and say, here's some fat sheep, and here's some sleek sheep, or thin, or whatever. He said, I know you fat sheep. You've been eating all the food. That's why I kind of feel like this hoarding food for the last days won't work, because people are going to know who had the food. You just wait about 3 months. You walk downtown, you say, yep, that guy's got food. That guy's got food, and you follow him home. But anyhow, I think the Lord is really, you know, just saying in these portions of Scripture, I really care for my flock. And what I'm asking for is that God would help us all to have the same kind of care. That we can take the ministry of the great shepherd, and while there is an accountability on the elders, there's also an accountability around the flock to really care. So let's stand together and let's pray and ask that God would really impart that into each of our lives. You know, and hopefully you're gaining the insight through the things you're learning, the things you're here in Bible school, the things you're learning through your own prayer and time with the Lord. You're gaining insight to actually help people. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the care that you have for us, Lord. That when you look down upon this earth, you don't just see a mass of people. You see an individual sheep. And you know how to guide each one of our lives uniquely, Lord. You know exactly what we need and where we're at in our walk and how to guide us. And we're so thankful that you brought us into your flock, Lord, and you do minister to us as a great shepherd. I pray that you would just continue to impart into our hearts this same care for your flock, Lord. We're all part of the same family. We're all part of the same body. You give so many illustrations in the Scripture to show us that we're all part of the same thing. And I pray that you'd help us to just grow in this care for one another. And you would put people upon our heart, Lord God, who need to be encouraged, who need counseling, who need to be witnessed to. And that you would give us the boldness and the courage to step out and begin to give that kind of care. Lord, I pray you just anoint every one of us with this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.